All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Brother Bri, Darren the Parlay Kid, and Harry. What is going on, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Well, I want to wish you all a happy Bobby Bonilla Day. We made it to July. July 1st. Somehow there's still basketball going on. There must have been some crazy virus or something to push the seasons and it took out people, took out half the league. I don't know what happened. But anyway, usually reserved for baseball July 1st. Bobby Bonilla Day. This is the day we celebrate. The Mets are still paying this guy they said goodbye to 20 years ago. They pay him $1.19 million, and they're going to do so until 2035. They put out something yesterday saying, big announcement tomorrow, and Bobby Bonilla, it was like a gif of him hitting, and I was like, oh my God, this is over with. They're going to pay him out, but nope, not so fast. He just announced that he read an ad, still read on an ad, that their Citi Field is renting out a suite for anyone who wants to take it for a night. It's like an Airbnb collusion. I don't know what's going on here. It seems kind of cool, but not the news we had waited for. Parley Kid, what do you think of Bobby Bonilla Day? I mean, it's just another reason to laugh at the Mets, and we'll laugh at your Yankees in a second. But
oh, good for Bobby Bonilla. I think The Islanders have something very similar with Rick DiPietro, who I think they're still paying off his contract. So very wise move on Bonilla's part. I'm surprised they haven't tried to work out just like, let's try to give this guy one lump sum and get out of here. But I don't think he'd take it, I guess. So
I guess he wouldn't. It's good to know your limitations, right? Like, Harry, this would be good for you. Spread out a salary over years. Although you spend like $8 on hotels and stuff. So I guess it wouldn't matter too much.
Well, look, he's won the lottery like 20 straight years. 20 straight years, you could say he wins the lottery on July 1st. Amazing.
I can't make fun of this because it's actually a good deal for the Mets if you break down the numbers. Bri, you're in finance, but it works out for the Mets. And also, it allowed them to get David Wright in a weird way along the way. So I only want to make fun of the fact that he's not on the roster.
But Harry, it's kind of like Ken paying Harry for the last 20 years, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, well, really, Brian's in finance. The company he works for has changed partners like 3 times in the last 10 years. So.
The hell does that mean? That's good. All right.
She's in finance.
All right. Let's talk about something we could all rejoice. Oh, no. We have the Yankees fans here. Brother Bri, the Parlay Kid. Wow, what a meltdown. They're winning 7-3 and then 8-4. They knock Ohtani out of the box, right? That was a big thing, right? So they gives up 7 runs. By the way, 2 teams scored 7 in the first yesterday. Cubs and Yankees both lost. Wonder if that's happened before. But anyway, you know, everyone, big fan, declares their team dead a few times in the year. I feel like the Yankees, maybe fans had 2 of those moments when you lost, you got swept by the Red Sox and swept again, but the second time. But Chapman giving up that grand slam and then them not being able to get an out after that and losing to the Angels. Parlay Kid, I know it's a long season, 8.5 out, 5.5 behind the wild card. Good Lord. Are you guys sellers at this point, July 1st?
Absolutely should be sellers. I think every Yankees fan would agree with that. I did hear, though, they picked up the great Tim LeCastro from the Diamondbacks today. Also, Jim Cunningham, an Ithaca graduate, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, played baseball at Ithaca. Nice. Which, yeah, it's just another, you know, right-handed bat hitting 181. So what a pickup. What a pickup. We're back.
I don't know what to say about this. I mean, it is, you want to take Boone to task. I know you do, Brother Bri, but for God's sakes, Chapman should be able to get an out. I don't know what's going on with this team and the relief in general. My God.
Well, yeah, I mean, I absolutely hate this team. I mean, I think I hate this team more than any other Yankee team I've ever rooted for, I feel like.
Really?
But I even bet against them yesterday. I had no problem betting against them. So it was a kind of a crazy win for me, but, yeah, up 7-2 after 1-8-4 in the ninth. I mean, it's obvious, right, at this point. Like, all our better pitchers were just using illegal substances. At some point in time. So,
boy.
I mean, that has not been fun. But look, we could win 10 in a row at some point, I guess. But if this continues, I mean, for the next month, I mean, Boone's got to be gone. I'm just sick of listening to his post-game interviews. Cashman should be for sure, too. He should go. I mean, what has he done? I mean, he's had some little good pickups here or there, but I mean, we had 2009 with him. 2009 was the last time we won. It's time for him to go too.
Spaghetti, you had a funny comment on a separate text chain about what Chapman might be using. Like, if it's not even the sticky stuff, right?
I said
what,
if Gerrit Cole got caught with some stuff, like, then Chapman must have been using Gorilla Glue because he has been god awful since then.
It is unbelievable. I don't know what you do. You try to leave him. You want to build his confidence. You figure 8-4 is good enough lead or something. I don't know. You take him out. Joel, you are a big Yankee fan too. You're upset they didn't take him. When's the right time to take Chapman out? Bases loaded?
Probably. Let's see. He walked 1, 2, 3 guys. I mean, I think it's probably enough after the first guy, but like, let's make sure, let's give him and walk the bases loaded and then give up the home run. We talked about like the most embarrassing things in sports the other day. That's pretty embarrassing. Like walking the bases loaded, giving up a grand slam. Oh, now we're going to pull you. Now we're going to make you walk back to the dugout.
Yeah, that's true. That's pretty bad. Hey, our buddy, Diamond Daniel Kellison all he does is every single day. I have to give him credit. I don't know that the strategy might pay off this year. Actually, this year it has paid off. He bets the Red Sox every day, and he bets against the Yankees every day. And so when they play each other, he just freaking goes nuts. And he's benefited in a big way this year. But he had them at 10-1 odds, down 7-3. Holy crap. Pretty good. I almost think it should have been more. If you knock Ohtani out, now the best hitter in the lineup is out after the first inning, right?
Great point.
But, yeah, I don't know, this sticky stuff. You have between Ohtani, what were we saying? Between Ohtani and Chapman, 11 runs in one inning.
I don't think it's this. This whole sticky stuff situation.
No?
I think it's a factor.
Oh, but okay.
I'm pretty sure, I'd say 95% of the pitchers in Major League Baseball were using it. I mean, I don't see how somebody wasn't using it or who wasn't using it. So,
well, we try to get an edge as gamblers, and I think they've adjusted the over-unders about a half a run on a lot of these games because now the umpires are checking. They make everyone stress.
They wanted
the TSA.
Look, There's been no hitting.
Right.
So
Darren, you know who's to blame for this?
Who?
Jeter.
Why?
Just because.
Oh, my God, Harry. All right, let's get through this. Harry's delusional. Hey, Joey Chestnut is coming up later. We're going to interview him. 13-time Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest winner. He's going for number 14. No one is more excited about this than I am. I love it. Maybe his plumber. His plumber makes a killing the Monday after the 4th of July contest. But I don't know what's next for him. What do you try to do? I guess you just keep trying to break your record, 75 hot dogs. Harry, how many could you put down in 10 minutes?
Ken likes hot dogs more than I do, so I don't know.
We really should have set up
another good answer by
some
Harry.
Type of contest right here live with Harry versus Chester.
Yeah, that
would have been something.
You know, that would have been really good to have him do a hot dog eating competition right before the doctor's visit today.
Yeah, Harry, check in with your doctor today. Ask what he or she thinks of a hot dog eating contest.
Yeah,
and then you play it straight. Then the rest of the way, we really, really buckle down on your diet and your fitness,
right?
Your quest for fitness. All right, NBA. Like I said, it's still going on. The Phoenix Suns. Harry predicted it. I forget when, but what kind of odds did you get?
Or 22-1.
Yeah, I'm going to say what kind of odds did you give out? Because when I say you get, it implies that you put money on it, but you gave out 22-1 odds. I don't think you really.
I have them in our contest.
Well, I don't know if Harry give that out or did he just take it in the contest?
I feel like he was.
That's the question.
What happened, Harry?
Well, Carla Kid's actually right.
Really? You never gave it out on your various podcasts? Never.
Well, you know what? That's what I'm actually surprised about because I do think we did. Didn't we do like East or West Coast finals?
Maybe I did mention it.
I went with the Suns and Harry went with the Clippers when we said that.
Is that right? What, a couple weeks ago?
When we took that, I took the Suns at 5-1.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Harry took the Clippers. Yeah.
I take it back. Suns win 130-103. I think I gave out the Clippers under 110, so that was a rare winner for me. Chris Paul, 41 points, 7 for 8 from 3. My God, he just went nuts. I bagged him. What was he shooting, Harry? 32% from the field, like 2 for 16 from 3. And he just lost his mind. And Suns title odds now, they opened at 195, minus 195, they opened after last night's game. They went to minus 210. Now they're minus 200. They may have as many as 8 days off I don't know, Harry. I'm seeing next Thursday is game one, but you say if it's wrapped up Saturday, it could be Tuesday is game one?
That's what I heard on the local news here in Phoenix.
But, you know, local news. All right.
Even when they, Phoenix, last six games against Milwaukee, even though when Phoenix was bad, just letting you know, they play Milwaukee 5-1 last six against the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, nothing matters. It's not the Bucks, really, to be honest. It's not the Hawks. Who the hell knows who they're playing? I will say, with those odds, Bri, do this with me. Hawks plus 550? That makes sense, doesn't it? They're a coin flip to beat the Bucks at this point and to finish off that series. And now they're not going to be more than 2.5 to 1, right? If the Suns are minus 200,
yeah,
what could they be?
If they're even, right? And
yeah,
plus if they're plus, I mean, they're going to have to be at least plus. Mm. Oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Well, how could they be? How could that be? They can't get to 3-1 odds at that.
Yeah. Well, I feel like if the Hawks win that series, though, right? Is that banking on Milwaukee wins the series and Giannis is somehow back?
Must take worst case scenario a little bit for Suns into
because account. I do think the Suns will be. I think if it's Suns Hawks, I feel like it'll be Suns.
I guess. I mean, honestly,
300, so minus 300 at that point.
So many. So what did I don't want to belittle the Suns' accomplishments because they might be the best team in the West. But what did they do? They took on the Lakers without AD, LeBron banged up. What up, Denver, right? No Murray.
No Murray. And no Harris.
Now the Clippers with that, right? No Harris. The Clippers with no Kawhi or Leonard, as Harry
it's
calls
incredible.
Them.
Yeah, what a run. You're right.
And now Atlanta or Milwaukee, possibly without their stars. It's interesting. Hey, Justin James got paid. That's all that matters. That's our MMA fan, friend who bet on himself $25,000. That was his purse. We had him on Extra Points yesterday. I felt bad. I was like, listen, we're putting $100 on the Suns. He actually had the Suns. He's a big-time gambler. We've not seen the last of Justin James, right? Babyface, Joel Solomon. Now, you're like texting with him like every hour and a half, aren't you?
He is was very thankful that we put in a bet on his behalf, and now I think he's ready to do it again. He's texting me when you're gonna. He can parlay that.
Well, I already paid him. I don't know what he's gonna do, but he. We know he bet on himself. He lost a split decision, a little controversial. I thought he took rounds 1 and 3, but bet on himself and lost. But then we learned that was not nearly his worst bet. He has money on the Lions over 5.5 wins. Oh, boy. Wow. It's freaking June.
Gotta like him. Gotta like him. I gotta like this guy.
I love him. Let's talk about finals MVP discussion. A few of us had Chris Paul a couple weeks ago. He was like 18-1.
18-1.
Then, like last week, he was 5-1. And now he's plus 210 on FanDuel. Booker is plus 180. So he's the favorite. I think he gets it. I think if he puts up two, now I understand the Suns have to win four games, but if he puts two remarkable games up, I'm not even saying scoring 41, going 7-for-8, but the 36-year-old point guard who never made it to a finals and then wins, it's going to be hard to pass him up no matter how well Devin Booker plays. I think plus 210 is a better bet. Obviously, you get screwed with the Booker than just the Suns to win the title. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, no, I liked it. I liked the plus 210. I mean, I was thinking it was going to be more like, you know, him and Booker at like plus 150, maybe even a little bit less. So I think you're definitely getting some good value. And you figure Paul's going to have, in the finals, he's going to have one or two games. Like, I mean, maybe not exactly like yesterday, but he's going to have one or two huge games where he carries them, where he carries them to wins. And he's going
to
get,
regardless of sentimental pick. It's 2-1.
They're both 2-1 now. Yeah, they're both 2-1.
Wow, yeah.
Both
2-1.
You know, I kind of like that. If you like the Suns, I wouldn't take the Suns. I would just try to maybe roll with one of those MVPs then to win. And
if he's not chasing Trae Young for 42 minutes, that's – Well, yeah, that's a different story, right?
I tell you like, what, Trae Young at plus 600, I mean, could be a nice little steal right there because I think Atlanta could be a really difficult matchup for the Suns.
Yeah. Well, that's why I like the 550. Series. But yeah, you're right. Like, who's going to get it if it's not Trae Young?
Yeah, so I
can't win that without Trae Young. Yeah.
I just thought maybe because of those two games that he missed too, it might hinder him a little bit here. But Sal, you make a great point there with the 37 points or 41 points and just playing the way he did yesterday. He's got to be the favorite, I think, a little bit more than Booker.
Yeah, for sure. He'll be the sentimental
choice.
That is true. Yes.
Listen, Sal, this all runs on Twitter. But go ahead.
So yeah. what was the one year? Was it Iguodala? Did he win it at like 100 to 1?
Yeah,
something
so
crazy,
he was
crazy
about
right? He was like the only one,
like
right?
That. Yeah, that was insane. By the way, we don't get it on our friend Alec enough that Steph Curry couldn't even win the MVP of that. They had to give it to Andre Iguodala at 100 to 1. Big Steph Curry fan,
right?
Friend Alec. But anyway, all right, let's go to tonight. Atlanta and Milwaukee. This last night was -2, the Bucks, and 216.5. It's now -3. And 215, Giannis is doubtful. Trae Young is questionable. Bri, we have a problem with this. Just make Trae Young doubtful also. So then when you pull the plug on him 10 minutes before tip-off, it's not such a big deal. It wasn't a big deal to us. We had Atlanta. We had the race to 10. Bri's done it again. He really did. This is 4 in a row. I mean, I would say I don't recommend you going in the business of selling picks. I think we have a nice thing going here. But if you were, I would just sell race to 10 picks. That's it. Like Mariano Rivera is your closer for the Yankees back when they had a good closer. Now Bry's just the opener. He steps in for 4 minutes. That's it. All right. No more bets. Yeah. Walk away. 4-0. Good job by you. What did they go up 12-2 at one point? Never.
I think so. Yeah, it was never in doubt. Yeah, that was great. It was funny. Yeah, because the line didn't even really change much once Young went out. And that actually, I didn't even really sweat that one. I felt like no pressure on that one.
Yeah.
And, it's a lot of fun.
It better be a game on Tuesday night now, Sal.
So it's Tuesday or Thursday, right? I know. I like doing the Tuesday thing.
Yeah,
so I think
we'd have to do it Thursday.
The Bucks or Hawks will have to wrap it up Saturday for there to be a game on Tuesday, I think. But really, everything I see says July 8th, Thursday. But anyway, we have tonight Atlanta, Milwaukee. I mean, who the hell knows at this? How do you not? You have to think Giannis isn't playing. I don't know if Trae Young is playing. So I'm just going to go by the numbers I could see right in front of me. I'm going to say Hawks under 107.5 team total. Before that inexplicable game 4, they had gone under in 4 out of their last 5. I feel like they play tough defense, if nothing else, tonight. PJ Tucker steps it up a little. Maybe Lou Williams, Bogdanovich, not as red hot. Also, they could score 104 and win. They could win. I'm not saying they lose if they score under 107.5. They could score 104 and win. They did it. They scored under 108. Twice against the Sixers in 1 and 3 times against the Knicks in 1. So I have a little bit of a cushion here by going Hawks under 107.5. I don't have to pick a side. I don't have to pick a total for the game, but I like their team total under. Parlay Kid, you're going straight up Bucks. I know you liked it better at -2, but now it's jumped to -3.
I did like it better at -2. I think Eddie Spaghetti is breaking news that Giannis is officially out for game 5 tonight, though. So thank you, Eddie. I think that was inevitable, but I guess we're getting the news now. I like the -2. -3, I guess I got to like it too. Kind of the way the Hawks responded without Trae Young, I'm thinking the Bucks kind of do the same here. They were 6-5 without Giannis on the season this year, so they did get to play with him without him for 11 games. It's not an overwhelming record at 6-5, but we've seen how this typically works, where a team rallies around their star at least for one game. They rally around their star being hurt. Middleton. You know, some think he's, not their number two, but he's more like their, there's, 1A and 1B, and he's more like their 1B. Maybe he can just carry them for one night. I got Brooke Lopez over 1.5 3-pointers on extra points. It was my pick today. I'm thinking Lopez, who I can't stand as a player, but I think maybe he puts in enough points to compensate a little bit for the loss of Giannis. I think the Bucks get this done tonight. I think they get it done.
That's the great thing about gambling. You don't have to like the person you're betting on. Like, you don't have to take the guy to dinner. You could making a wager online or over a phone. But I'm looking now with Giannis. The Giannis news: the Hawks are now -4.5. No, it's the same. Still Bucks -3. Maybe that moves a little bit.
Yeah, maybe a little.
215.5 is the over under. All right, brother Bri. Middleton was mentioned, and you like him to have a big game.
Yeah, I'm going to go Middleton over 27.5. Look, it's weird that Middleton just can't have good back-to-back shooting nights. This was something you brought up the other day, right? But it seems like nobody can have back-to-back good nights. But I'm banking on him having a huge game if the Bucks are going to win. He's averaging 20 shots per game over the last 2 series. that number is probably going to jump to like 25 or maybe even 30 shots tonight. I'm going to be playing all of his overs. I think I'm going to play, you know, his threes is 2.5. I'll probably play like adjusted over 3.5 for him. I'm taking all overs for him tonight. So it could be bad for
all
him.
Right.
But yeah, either he or Holiday, one of them is going to have a great game, especially that at home. And I do agree with Parlay Kid. I mean, I think Lopez, somebody else is going to have a very big game for them, whether it's Lopez or Forbes. I don't know. Somebody's going to come out of the woodwork. So I would look at a Bucks player like adjusted high line and try to get some high odds off of that because maybe he could win some good money.
What
there.
About your Notre Dame guy, Spaghetti? Connaughton, right? What's his points? Where is it? Oh, do they even have it? I don't even think they have him up, right?
A lot of times it's just the starters.
It'd have to be, right. Yeah, it'd have to be. But he's had a couple of decent game. Not the last couple. All right, Harry, you're going against us here. Going against the grain here. Bogdanovich, over.
Yeah, I'm going to take Bogdanovich over 15.5 points at -116. Look, we finally saw a solid shooting performance out of him in game four with 20 points. They had 6 threes. Atlanta is definitely going to need that type of effort again with Young in question. So Bogdanovich, tough over here at 15.5 on the road, but I'm taking him with, like I said, Young in question. He's going to have to shoot.
All right. Paulie Kidd, I try to make a case for the Bucks without Giannis on Fox Bet Live. You know, we have to request graphics. I'm like, take a look. I had him at 4-5, but I guess that last 9 games without Giannis, they're 4-5. So maybe they had a good win in there. Their wins were against the Kings, the Magic, the Timberwolves, and the Bulls. So, it's as bad as it gets in terms of like trying to make a point there. And their losses were against the Knicks, the Warriors, the Mavs, the Hornets, and the Bulls. So I don't know. It could be one of those things where they light it up. Everyone plays out of their mind and the fans get behind it and they just get a win. And, you know, obviously no Trae Young would help there too. But maybe we're going to see a game 7. Maybe not. I don't even know what I'm watching anymore with these teams. But the NBA is not done. On FanDuel Sportsbook, if you're watching from the sidelines, now is a perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook. Conference finals, new users get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. That means you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Wow, this is a pick'em. This is a toss-up, basically, between the Bucks and the Hawks, and you can get 30-1 odds. Beautiful, beautiful incentive there. More ways to win on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Different deposit options so you know your dollars are safe and you're getting your money. It's a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. Just sign up with promo code against all odds to bet the NBA conference finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code against all odds to unlock 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. All right, let's switch our focus to the NHL. Tampa at Montreal, game 3. What's the line here? I look, it moved around here. It is, well, Tampa Bay is still favored. Montreal back against the wall. -138, Tampa Bay, +118 on the take back for Montreal. Over under is 5. They won't give you the 5.5. The over is -130. I don't think the Canadians are done. I think they have some fight in them. They have 43 shots on goal. They gave up a weird goal at the end of this, a great goal, but a weird one with in terms of how much time was left at the end of the second period, and then even a weirder third goal. So I think Carey Price keeps them alive. I think +126 is a good number for a feisty team that won't go away without making noise. But I think I'm in the minority here, Brother Bri. You say Lightning, Lightning, Lightning.
Yeah, coming into this series, I thought the Lightning would sweep or win in 5. In game 2, the Lightning were outshot by 20. And still won that game. Tampa just makes it tough to get high quality shots. And even when you do, then Vasilevsky seems to save everything. It really sucks. It really sucks, though, that the crowd is still going to be 3,500 people.
Yeah.
It said they were asking for 10, right? About 10 or 11,000. They wouldn't allow it. I mean, come on, Canada. It's ridiculous.
You're lame, Canada.
I know. But
move the Yankees to Canada.
My former employees, guys. Come on.
But that's going to benefit the Lightning big time, not having to deal with that type of crowd.
Yeah.
They're not going to play worse than they did in game 2. I think this is – I do like looking at, like, the correct score, and I do feel like we see a lot of 2-2s going into overtime. So I'm going to say, even though I like the Lightning, I'm going to say Lightning win 3-2 in overtime.
There you go. Yeah, Harry doesn't like to talk about it much, but he used to be a maple syrup taster in Saskatoon. So those days are over. All right.
Good stuff.
Harry, you're picking a tie here?
Yeah, 60-minute line. I hit it last game with Lightning, so I'm going to take a tie at plus 290. Eight of the last nine Habs games have been 5 goals or less. We just mentioned Vasilevsky. Been fantastic between the pipes. Sal, I agree with you. Carey Price is going to show up in this game. And the last four home games for Montreal, all have gone to overtime.
But why is it a 60-minute line tie? Isn't it just tie? Oh, that's just how they spell it out for you. I mean, yeah. You can't bet tie after the first overtime, right? All right. Either way, you're betting the tie.
So plus 290.
There you go. And Parlay Kid, you can't get, well, you're going to have to adjust it to get to 5.5.
No, I'm going to keep it at 5. I think Harry just raised the points of why we could keep it at 5. I think Price will be on top of his game here, knowing this is pretty much a do-or-die game for the Canadiens. Vasilevsky's been great. And so I know you just mentioned some wonky goals by Tampa. I mean, the goal Montreal scored yesterday was as bad as you could see from Vasilevsky, who's been great, who's, by the way, minus 180 now on FanDuel to win the Conn Smythe. I got him at 4-1.
Back when
I had him and Varlamov when I picked him.
Yeah, he bet like the top nine goalies. So let's
bet the goalies.
Darren, plus Kucherov and Point not getting a point at all last game.
Yeah, it did. And I think I called 3-1 on our last, because I think I picked Tampa +1.5 or -1.5. That was my pick on Tuesday for that game. I just think this game goes 5 goals maximum here. Maybe it's a push, but I don't think, Harry made some great points. This isn't going to go over. The Canadians have to play a close to the vest game. Mm-hmm. They have to. You can't go up and down with the Lightning. If you want to beat them, you have to grind it out. And I think that's what the Canadians are going to try to do tonight.
All right. You mentioned, well, first of all, the series odds are out of control now. It's at -1250 for Tampa Bay. And +850 for Montreal. Now, I was looking at that because Price is also +850 to win the Conn Smythe. If you like Montreal, I mean, it's got to be him. It doesn't really matter because they're the same. I mean, you have to look 12 names down to find the next Montreal Canadian, right? Chariot, is that his name? Right. 95-1. That's Ben Chariot. That's the next best Canadian. Like you said, Paul Kid, Vasilevsky is -180. So I guess you might as well, if you like Montreal, take Montreal. Don't dip into the MVP odds. But all right, spaghetti. Actually, meatballs, jump in because you had a winner. You had like a 3.5-1 odds winner yesterday, right?
Nick Suzuki over half power play point.
Nice.
Nice.
You got another one for us?
I gave it out on -3. It's not up yet, but Cole Caulfield over half a point. Going with that.
Caulfield. All right. Over half a point. What about you, Spaghetti? I think you are in my camp here with Montreal, or did you abandon ship?
No, I'm not going to abandon ship yet. Like Meatball said, we just spoke about it before in the -3 NHL segment, and I like Montreal. They're home dogs getting a goal and a half, and I think if there was going to be a game that Carey Price steals, I mean, game two could have went differently, and I really wish it did. The Habs almost had that one, I think, at certain points. So Carey Price stands on his head. The under, I think, is the total is 5 goals. I think it's going to be under. I think Carey Price really stands out in this one, and the Habs finally getting the board here.
Wonder where that came from, the goalie standing on his head, because it's really not a great approach to saving anything, right? It's probably the worst thing you could do. But anyway, but the way they give up that third goal doesn't really matter. All right, so that action, that's tomorrow, right? Friday night. Boy, Tampa could really take control there. We do want to go over the match. What is this? The fourth match? The -3? The -4? I don't know what it is. Now, this they tee off Tuesday here for this. We'll be doing a podcast while they are playing. It's Bryson DeChambeau and Aaron Rodgers versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. Bryson and Rodgers -192. Phil and Brady +146. I know Rodgers is light years better than Brady, I guess, as a golfer. I'm reading into this. I've seen Brady play golf, and he screwed me on some kind of crazy chipping eagle shot last year. I don't even know when it was. I blocked
in the rain.
Yeah, in the rain. It was bad. I had bet him to not par the rest of the way. There was no way he was getting close to parring, and he does that. You just can't bet against Tom Brady, and that's part of my analysis here. But also the other part is, first of all, Phil says they're going to annihilate them. And I just wonder if like Bryson's just going to be making bad jokes and he's going to be starstruck about playing with Aaron Rodgers, where Phil is more of an instructor. We saw it with I know it was his course, but we saw it with Charles Barkley the last time I bet against Phil and lost, right? And they crushed those guys. Who was that? Yeah. That was Steph Curry.
Steph and Manning.
Oh, yeah, Peyton Manning. So that wasn't even close. I just think Phil takes this more seriously and might not be better, but, you know, might not be a better pairing, but enough for me to jump on that plus 146. Yeah. Harry's the only one that disagrees. But so Parlay Kid, Brother Brian, what do you think? What's your reasoning?
So I see where you say Phil takes it too seriously. I think what's great about Phil in this type of stuff is he really doesn't take it too seriously. Like, I think he can play loose with Brady. I think he really likes being in this type of spotlight, right? And he can relax playing this type of golf, where Bryson, I think, is more of an uptight type of guy. Right. And he might be a guy where it's just, you know, just the cameras are on him and Rodgers to kind of pal it up a little bit. Yeah. I'm not sure if Bryson can really handle that just yet. We've seen Mickelson just go out and have some fun with this. Right. He plays loose golf. He's fun to play with. I think he'll be the more relaxed guy. I think he outplays Bryson in this. And I think Brady outplays Rodgers. So I think getting the plus money here, it's a pretty easy call.
I don't know what the rules are, Brian. We always get screwed on this.
I wasn't even considering rules here, but
Maybe it's in our favor. If they use a Bryson tee shot and it's like in the double thick rough there, and Aaron Rodgers is like, what the hell is this? I just hit it 400 yards. Figure it out. What do you want me to do? It's in the double rough. But why do you like the underdog here, Brian?
Well, I mean, I really like it because I'm just never going to bet the favorites here again. I lost way too much money the last time on that Manning. That was really stupid. And that was over like right away.
Right.
It felt like we were on the third hole and I was like, holy shit, I lost this Barkley bet. I think I lost the bet before. But it's just the line is too wacky. It's like the fact you're getting plus 140, whatever it is, plus 150. But yeah, I agree with you, though. I do think Phil in this setting, though, is super competitive. I think he's going to, you know, I think he'll want to win this. But I do agree with Darren that he, you know, he'll probably play a little bit more loose. Same with Brady, too, I think. But but you're right, though, in terms of the rules. My assumption is the rules are similar. Mm-hmm. But it's possible on like the fifth hole, they're using a putter the whole way. It's very, you know, so that also factors in. Once you get these like little wacky rule changes here or there, then you gotta go underdog because you just don't know what the hell's gonna happen.
Well, whatever the new rules they pop in, you rest assured they will work against us and our pick somehow. Like you have to have played for the Packers or something. It'd be something ridiculous. I don't know. All right, you know what? I was thinking if there's no race to 10, could we do a race to 10? Similar thing with golf. Is there a race to the opening shot? Funny. Opening shot starts the fairway. They have.
Can
that
we just bet
right?
the first hole? Can't we just it's bet weird. The first hole?
Bet the it's first hole. Yeah, maybe just the first shot to make the fairway. Right.
I think we do something like that.
That would
I think
be
it's,
so
it,
quick.
I think though, it starts. It starts at what 6 o'clock on Tuesday? Something
six
like that.
6 a.m. No.
No, like six.
Oh really?
Six,
oh, okay.
Is it 6 p.m.?
Oh good. All right.
But it's weird, right? 6 o'clock on Tuesday.
Harry said he saw on local Phoenix news that it could start 2 weeks from now.
Right. I did.
Yeah, Joel, what are the rules here, Joel?
Oh man, you don't really want me to read these, do you? But yes, it's 5:30 Eastern.
All right.
The tee shots, the professionals will tee off, football players will tee off from the forward tees. Uh-huh. Then it's a best ball.
So everybody tees off. But yeah. It's best ball. Okay.
And then Shailene Woodley gets to choose which ball Aaron gets to play.
All right, that's enough.
And then Giselle will say, my husband cannot drive and chip and putt.
What are you talking about? I hate to take the ball from you and give it to Harry, but it is his turn now. Harry, sell us on the favorites here.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe Brady can't win everything. Let's have Rodgers win this. Let's have Rodgers win this so he's happy off the field so he doesn't play in the NFL like I predicted. And Bryson also has quoted out and said, I can't wait to unleash the beast in the big sky. Get your popcorn ready. So he'll be ready too. Taking those
All two. Right. So to recap, Aaron Rodgers has to be happy because he's not happy with his contract situation.
And he's not happy on the field.
Okay. All right. Well, I think we should go right to Shark Tank. I mean, it's going to be tough to improve on reasoning like that, but let's do it. How did you guys do on the Tuesday Shark Tank?
Sal, me and you hit. That's the second one we've hit in a row.
What was that? The under? What did we? Oh, no, we had the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, Dodgers. Second one in a row.
All right, do it again, Harry. What do we like?
All right, we're going to go Tampa Bay, Montreal, under 5.
Oh, you're stealing the parlay kids pick here.
I do like this. Again, banking on veteran goalie Carey Price to come up big, not just for the Canadians, but for all of Canada. Montreal hasn't given up more than 2 goals in 6 straight home games under 5.
Mm, okay. All right. Brother Bri, your Shark Tank pick.
Yeah, well, I can't take a UFC over this week, which really sucks. There's no UFC, no...
Oh, yeah. What happened?
No
they
boxing.
Take the 4th of July off?
Yeah, I guess so. It sucks. I need something late at night. You know, I get bored. But yeah, we haven't talked about Euro Cup, but I'm going to take Belgium to advance plus 102.
I like this. So it doesn't have a chance.
The funny thing about this pick is that, you know, Harry the other day says like, I like Belgium, Denmark in the finals. That's my pick. Mm-hmm. And then I give out Belgium today. I tell you guys. And then Harry right away sends me a separate side text.
Well,
you know, these guys are out. It's like, yeah, I know these, they're top two guys. Well, 2 of their better guys are not their top two, but 2 of their better guys are out for this game. But both teams have been playing. I mean, in European matches, both teams have been playing really great. This Belgium team, you know, they had a good run in the last World Cup. I just feel like they're the better team. Both teams have won, I feel like, a lot in a row, but that Italy game against Austria bothered me. I just didn't think, you know, I was all over Italy in that game, of course. They blew that late lead. So I just didn't like the way they looked. I like the way Belgium played in that Portugal match. I just think it's very likely this game, it's probably, you know, it could be a 0-0, 1-1 draw going into, you know, penalty kicks. But I do like Belgium as the underdog here to advance. But it doesn't even matter for my picks anymore. We only care about race to 10.
Yeah, race to 10 is good. Unfortunately, there's not race to 10 passes, maybe. I don't even know what it could be in soccer. Certainly not goals, because you'd be there for 3.5 years. All right, Darren, take it away.
Well, look, you guys got me going betting golf a couple, 2, 3, 4 years back.
Mm-hmm.
You will never get me on the soccer train. You will never get me on the soccer train.
I'm not trying. We're not trying. I think we tried with golf.
Yeah,
we're not trying.
I think you know better, like in terms of, I just feel like
it's so brutal.
The soccer
Uruguay,
text
Darren, Uruguay.
Exchanges between all of you are just brutal in terms of like, it's hard to believe you could get screwed so much and like when games are 1-0. Like,
I told you, I'm the best 85 minute soccer better in the world. Like, the last 3 matches, I've been screwed with like 2 goals after 85 minutes.
It's incredible.
Minutes, so.
It's absolutely incredible. Well, yeah. Sal, look, I'm going to give you one here tonight. I'm going to go with the Mets -1.5 plus 112 tonight. Your boy Jacob DeGrom is on the mound. Atlanta scored, a couple touchdowns and a couple field goals yesterday against the Mets. What goes up normally comes down. Somehow, for some reason, usually the day after a team scores 20, at least I've noticed this, they tend to score a lot less the next game. And now with DeGrom on the mound, I think he shuts the Braves out tonight. New York Shenandoah kid Ian Anderson's on the mound for the Braves. Mm. I think the Mets beat him up his last time he faced them. So I'm going to take the Mets -1.5 at plus 112 here tonight. Really riding on DeGrom here. Hopefully he can go more than 5 innings tonight.
Parlay, I mean, that's the thing, right? I look at it. Jeff Schwartz and I text each other, like, how do we attack this? So we usually do the first 5, the total over under, and then that's been like 2.5, 3 runs. That's been crazy
so
low. So you can't really do that anymore. You don't know if DeGrom's going to go 7 innings or 4 or 3. And I'm looking at his strikeouts. The over-under's 9.5. It seems high. I mean, could they really win on Bobby Bonilla Day? So much joy for one team on one day. The first half money line is Mets minus 188. So you like minus 1.5 plus 112, right?
Right.
All right. Let me think about that. Brother Bri, I've checked out of the soccer. I made a little bet on Fox Bet Live for that first game tomorrow to go under. But otherwise, I just put a ridiculous amount of money on England to win the whole thing at plus 180. And so they'll do something stupid. They'll lose to Spain or some bullshit. I don't know. But I'm going to pass on that.
That's fine.
You know what, Harry? Let's do it. I've been with you twice in a row.
Yeah.
All right. You're going to the doctor. You're going to get some good news. Let's do it. Tampa Bay, Montreal, under 5. Yeah, probably like a 2-1 game. Probably goes to overtime. Boy, then you hit big if that's the result. I'll jump on with you there. That'll be Shark Tank. But shit, these other I do like the other picks. But Harry, I'm with you. Under 5 goals. Tampa Bay, Montreal, plus 106.
Plus 106, yeah.
All right. So now this NIL has taken over the NCAA, right? I mean, the NCAA is obsolete now. I'm not sure what's going on, but players will basically be able to make side deals with boosters and whoever else. I have mixed emotions about this, right? Like, I definitely think players should get paid. It's ridiculous how much money the NCAA makes. I don't feel like I should be labeled racist if I go the other way on this, but there are going to be some, you know, there's going to be some Don Kings involved. There's going to be some Buddy Garrity's, right? The weird used car appearances and everything. I don't know how it affects the team dynamic. You know, maybe we look at a guy like Dabo Swinney. Maybe he was benefiting too much, so this is why he's having a problem with it. But I do see some pitfalls along the way. Is your allegiance to the booster, or is your allegiance to the team? I get it. Maybe if you put the money in a trust, that seems a little too crazy. But also, a lot of this might still be going on right now and we don't realize it. So I'm mixed on it. I'm glad the players are making money. Ultimately, I'll say that. But now our friend Tate Frazier, what did he say, Bri? He put out a tweet and said, which jersey would you like to have? He said the colleges should now go back and sell retro jerseys, right?
Well, they should, 100%. I've been waiting for this forever. I said over the winter. It's funny because when he put that out, I was like, over the winter, you guys would laugh at me. I was like, I was looking for a Paige Becker's UConn women's jersey all over the place for my daughter. Like every week I would check.
Right.
I couldn't even find a fake one.
Really?
They didn't even make fake ones for like $20 in China or whatever.
Right.
But yeah, so when he sent that, I'm like, yeah, these schools should do that. They should make these deals and they should put out all these old jerseys. It would be great. I mean, I feel like this is a brand new market. And mm-hmm. I think he said what he would take a Joe Forte jersey, I think, from
that's a good one.
From UNC.
You know,
which I think it's great, like these obscure players that you could potentially
sure.
get.
Oh, for sure. Sure. Bri, when I was your daughter's age, I would ride my bike to the Comac flea market and they would have like a steam press. I don't know if you remember this, Parley.
Sure. Show,
but you can make any, they had all the letters. So you could, I got a new Roddy Piper shirt every week, Hot Rod. And it said with these dumb letters that are all mixed up, but that's your,
you got it every week. Cause the letters fell off like 3 seconds later.
Right. It fell on my ride home. I needed to wipe my brow because I was sweating and that was it. They all peeled off. All right. So Bri, what would be your pick?
Well, it's funny. Is it all right if I give you a few? Like, sure. An official Bo Jackson Auburn football jersey would be amazing.
Right.
Although I always wanted a Bo. I always liked baseball jerseys better than football jerseys. I don't know, in terms of wearing them.
Yeah.
And I was never a big basketball jersey guy because I was like, you know, a T-shirt under the jersey type of guy with basketball. Mm-hmm. So I always wanted a Bo Jackson number 29 Auburn baseball jersey.
Nice.
That's a good one. That's kind of always, you don't really see those.
Right.
I like that. You know, you had Charles Woodson, Michigan number 2, or a Chris Webber jersey would have been great because those were my teams back in the day. But a Bo Jackson Auburn baseball jersey.
All right.
Pretty cool.
Harry, I know you want to jump in. By the way, we had Ian Carmel on Laugh Line yesterday, and which former player would you want a vacation with? Because my cousin Jimmy is putting up pictures. He's photoshopping himself in with Magic Johnson because he's begged Magic Johnson over the years to take him on these vacations with Samuel Jackson. He just hasn't been asked. So he's done the next best thing and photoshopped himself in. So we asked who you would want to. And Ian Carmel says Ronnie Cicely. He's like a DJ overseas or something, right, Joel? He's a DJ? I don't know.
Big time.
Yeah,
number
yeah,
four,
yeah.
Ronnie Seifling.
So that's Syracuse. I have a feeling you're going to hit us with a Syracuse name here.
No, actually, no. I'm going to go. I'm going to jump on with Tate here. I'm going to jump on with Tate. And I'm going to take Lawrence Taylor's powder blue UNC jersey.
Oh, please.
Oh, yeah, Darren.
What kind of powder are you talking about?
Powder blue over powder white.
Darren, you're a teacher. You're a teacher, Darren.
Not anymore. I'm giving you facts.
Not after that statement. All right, Parlay Kid. You're not going powder blue. What do you like?
No, I mean, let's go. I would like a maybe an Eastern Illinois Tony Romo. My son Kyle has one.
I was thinking that.
I have to find that somewhere. I also like a 1984 Roosevelt Chapman. Led the Dayton Flyers to the Elite Eight one year, kind of where, for me, as a teenager, put Dayton on the map for me. Mm. Or 1990 Nagel Knight jersey. Nagel played in Phoenix a little bit, Harry.
Yeah.
And he played a little bit for Kevin Johnson for a spell. And, you know, those were some great runs for Dayton and some great players. So I'll stay true to that form, too, with those UD guys. Definitely would look into those.
So it's Roosevelt Chapman's fault, 84, if it's 4 years before you're going to college, that you could have gone to a state school. You would have saved your parents a lot. You could have gone to Geneseo. Mm-hmm. Saved a lot of money, if not for Roosevelt Chapman's run in 84.
Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Well, I saw enough of Oswego in those schools anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. What do you need to see? All right, I want everyone's input here. All right, Meatballs, you're big on jerseys, but pro hockey jerseys. But what would you go college-wise?
I'll take a hockey college jersey.
I was thinking college hockey, but how about an O.J. Simpson USC jersey?
Yeah.
That's what I'm going with.
We were talking about last night who would benefit the most in terms of endorsement deals from this, and I jokingly but not jokingly said O.J. Simpson. We said, what did we say, Leinart, Bush, all the big names, obviously, Tebow, the aforementioned Bo Jackson. Who else did we say, Parlay Kid? Like, all these guys would have just made a shit ton of money. I think you're best off with a 4-year player, obviously. Leitner,
Manning.
Yes. Yeah, Manning for sure. All those SEC guys. But anyway, all right, Spaghetti, what would you say?
I have
Pat Connaughton?
I have a pretty good collection of college jerseys. But there's one I don't have that I would love, especially now if they are legal. And one of the greatest college football games of all time was the Rose Bowl, Vince Young and the Texas Longhorns beating USC. And I hate USC. I would love to get a burnt orange Vince Young jersey too. Is that great game?
He's another one. He would be top three in terms of endorsements, what he would do. Yeah.
Eddie, sure. I'm surprised Michael didn't pick a Notre Dame Anders Lee jersey. That would have been pretty sweet.
Yeah, especially the green ones too. They have sometimes. It's a great one to get.
I don't want to open this back up, but not enough is said about Anders Lee not playing in the Islanders, still making this great run. Like, it seems like an afterthought, right? But anyway, we don't want to talk about that. All right. Joel Solomon, what does this mean in terms of like t-shirts and memorabilia? You're in the t-shirt selling business. Does this make some of these college shirts you have or try to buy worth less or more? Or what if the NCAA steps in and does what Tate Frazier suggests?
I'll probably have to talk to Ken about this, what it means legally. But no, I think it's good for all the vintage and revival stuff.
All right.
Yeah, it can only be good. It can only be good. My all my Mark Titus Ohio State stuff is going to be going up.
Now, you're going to go Arizona State, Reggie Jackson. No. What are you going with?
I mean, Randy Moss Marshall jersey would be pretty amazing. Cordell Stewart at Colorado. I always loved him. But no, those classic like Iverson Georgetown jersey would be amazing. Yeah. And Nick Van Exel at Cincinnati, I think, would be a great one.
I love it. Nick Van Exel. Love it.
Interesting. That was a fun team, that Huggins team. All right, Jim Cunningham, I'm going to be boring and just say Chris Mullen, but I think it would have to come with the accompanying T-shirt. So I don't know how much that costs, but that was was my favorite look back then, 83, 84. All right, Jim, what are you going to say?
Sticking with St. John's, I'd like a old Felipe Lopez jersey. I had like the practice reversible one of those, but that would be cool. Larry Johnson, UNLV, loved him.
Oh, yeah.
I liked Brother Bry, St. Chris Webber, loved him as well. Penny Hardaway, Memphis. And out of my hate for Tate, I'd say Christian Leitner, Duke.
Why not? Why not? Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ. That whole Larry Johnson UNLV team, what would they have done under these circumstances? I mean, it was nuts to begin with. Oh, it really just would have been a bunch of Floyd Mayweathers running around just the whole time. Anyway, all right. Thank you for that, Tate. That inspired some nice conversation. Jim, we're going to have to get you all those jerseys because this is your final show. I don't know how much you want to say about it. You've been with us since the beginning. If you bet that he would last under 1 year, you're a winner. But no, he helped get Extra Points Podcast Network off the ground. We're going to miss you. You're retiring the same day as Meghan McCain. Coincidence? I don't think so. I don't believe in coincidences, but he's moving on to bigger and more head-scratching things. But we're going to miss you, heel producer. The heel moves on to a new territory. It happens all the time in wrestling. Maybe I don't know how we replace you. Heel. Like, do we get the Sons and Four guy to produce? But... good luck to you, Jim. And I don't know if these guys have words for you. Harry, you're going to miss Jim, right?
Going to miss Jim tremendously. Jimbo. Going to miss you, buddy.
Wow. So you got a little, nice little jingle at the end there. All right.
That was great. Kid,
Brian, you want to say?
Good times, Jim.
Jim is one of the greats. I thought it would be almost impossible to replace Tate, but Jim did everything and more in that role. So... we're going to miss you, Jim, and best of luck to you. We'll be keeping in touch.
Yeah, Jim got us microphones right there.
He got you microphones? He's going to need those back.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I'm going to start crying like Reggie Jackson did last night. But yeah, we're going to miss Jim, although I'm sure I'll have four-hour conversations with Jim certain nights. But I will say, Jim right away, when he replaced Tate, was like, you're getting off the shitty phone calls, and we're getting you real equipment. And that was like right away, and you could definitely hear the difference in it.
Yeah, and now we have Harry's microphone tested for tuberculosis every couple of weeks or so. But that's Jim's doing,
and other things.
Well, yeah, Jim, do you have any final words?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm sad to go, and this has been one of my favorite shows to work for the past God knows how many years it's been. I was listening to some of the old episodes actually last night. It was from like 4 years ago. Yeah, it's funny. You used to introduce Harry as Harry the Horse.
I did?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, well, he's bigger than a horse. That's not fair to the horse.
But wow. But yeah, now I found my calling. You know, you hear about people like as a child, they saw someone perform the Heimlich and they knew they wanted to become a doctor or a fireman or something. Uh-huh. So I was watching this movie the other night and I found my calling. I'm going to go into porno.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's about time.
You know what? Mustache.
You know what? That's...
and the hair.
That's about right. That's it. Yeah.
Mustache, Jim, and the hair.
You could probably do both, right? They'll just bring the whole... set to your house and then you can just press record for the rest of us here.
Yeah, I have all the cameras and everything set up. It's all good. I'm still trying to pick a name, like a stage name. I have a couple if you guys want to help me.
Go ahead, jump in.
Charlie Horse.
Okay.
Is that good? Billy Club. Alan Wrench.
Yeah.
Jim Boner.
Jim Boner's great. I had that. That's just pretty good. That's really good.
Ace Hardware. Is that good?
Yeah.
Girth Brooks, but I think I'm going to go with Michael J. Fox.
Oh, good. Well, he dabbled.
Harry, that was
minute.
Funny. You don't even laugh at Jim's last joke.
He doesn't get jokes like that. All right, Joel Solomon, you have anything to say to Jim?
I mean, it's only right I give my good point to Parlay Kid. He said today, teams rally around their star for one game to get it done. And we got to rally around Jim Cunningham. He got it done for many of shows. He probably wasn't recording our audio, but hopefully, Jim, best of luck, pal. I'm going to miss you a lot, pal.
There you go. Jim, you said it's one of your favorite shows. Rank the top five.
Well, it's not top five. I'd say.
Oh, okay. Forget it.
It's got to be top 20. Actually, but with Extra Points, I will say that it's such a good group of people. As far as like percentage-wise, I think it's the highest I've liked the percentage of coworkers I've worked with.
Oh, good.
And I've worked at a lot of places. Yeah, it's got to be at least like 7%.
All right. Well, I'm sure you'll keep that ratio up in the new job. Well, good luck to you, Jim.
Good luck, Jim.
We love you.
Good luck, Jim.
Now my interview with Joey Chestnut, but first, Pearl Jam. No Pearl Jam. Just the interview. All right, this Sunday on July 4th, Americans will eat about 150 million hot dogs, and 35% of those will be consumed by this man. Yes, he's an American hero and 13-time Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest champion, Joey Chestnut. Thanks for being here.
Oh, good to be on with you again.
Now, Joey, I've been a fan of yours for years. I do have some beef with you. We've discussed this in the past, but I do want to get to the numbers here. The record, your record, is 75 in 10 minutes, right?
Yeah.
What do you, I'm interested in your process. Do you go for the win first? Are you a scoreboard watcher? Do you go for the win? And then do you try to break the record, or do you just devour and not worry about anyone outside of you?
Yeah, I'm going for the win. And I, those last couple of minutes of the contest, depending on how good I've been eating, if I've been swallowing a lot of air in the beginning of the contest, at the end of the contest, I need to burp. Oh. And if I'm swallowing really, if I'm going for the record, there's always a little risk that I'm swallowing too quickly, and that one of those burps could come out and look like barf. So towards the end of the contest, I'm slowing down naturally, but I'm also deliberately slowing down just so I can control those burps. So I'm always trying to get a record, but towards the end of the contest, I'm weighing. Is the risk worth the benefit? But you know what? I'm going all out. Things are opened up, and I want a new record this year, and I'm going to risk it.
That's amazing. I don't think any other competitor, athletic competitor, has that risk there. Like, all right, if I burp, this is just a natural reaction, my body, because obviously I don't want to get too technical or gross, but if something comes up, what do you lose? Do you lose credit for that amount? Do you lose the whole thing?
Yeah, it's disqualification.
Really?
If they say it's barf, then you heave, you leave. So I need to make sure that nothing comes out. It's a one-way road, and you know what? I feel good. Practice has been good, and I'm excited.
Yeah. So now you're over under for hot dogs, as the odds makers have it, is 73.5. Like I said before, your record is 75. It's weird because you really can only eat. You're not going to have 80, right? You're not going to have 81. If you break the record, it's going to be, you'll have like 76. But anyway, minus 5,000. The next closest to you is 10-1 odds. Are you looking at anyone that can challenge you? Do you watch tape of your opponents? How does it work? Or is it just a one-man sport for you?
It's not a one-man game. I've lost before, and I hope I don't have to go through that again. But Jeff Esper out of Boston. He spells his name with a G, like a weird.
Dispose of him. Yeah, anyone who spells his name Jeff with a G.
Yeah. And he's from Boston. He has one of those accents. I'm not going to – he's actually beat me in a couple contests recently. So I know he's capable of eating a lot. It's just – I love 4th of July, and he doesn't love hot dogs like me. And it would take a miracle for him to win, but I need to stay calm, and I'll hopefully dominate.
I want to ask now, this adds to the whole pageantry of the whole thing, the dipping the hot dogs in water, and it obviously helps get the numbers up, but how many could you eat if you weren't able to dip the hot dogs in water?
In 10 minutes, it depends on the day. If it's a really, really hot day and the dogs are stale, I wouldn't eat that many. But if it's kind of humid and the dogs the buns aren't stale, I could probably do 50, 52 without dunking.
But wow. Jeez. So that many, even without the water.
That's I put them down. I mean, at a baseball game, it's pretty rare for me to eat less than 18.
Uh-huh. Is that right? At a baseball game?
I mean, it every half inning. I should be averaging one for three outs.
Right. I guess that makes sense. All right. Now, I have an important question to ask you, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, but that's going to go down depending on how you respond to this question. Deli or yellow?
Say this again.
Deli or yellow?
Oh, my God. I like deli. Yellow's all right if that's all they got.
Yeah,
but, I'm definitely a mustard guy, and I like either brown or spicy brown.
I don't even say yellow's all right. I think it's disappointing in any aspect. I don't know where does yellow supersede deli? I don't know. And forget about hot dogs. Is there any situation where yellow is better than deli?
No, no. It's for the kids, but it's all right. Kids, some people never grow up.
I guess it is for the kids. All right. I wrote about this in my book, this unpleasantness. I wish I didn't have this with you, but it was a few years back. And I bet you it was supposed to be a sweltering hot day, and it always is in Coney Island, so it doesn't really matter. But your over-under was 72 and a half hot dogs. It was about 5 years ago, and I said, you know what? What does this guy have to prove? He went out there. He's going to beat whoever the number two is by 7 or 8 hot dogs. And you did just that. You were on pace. You were on a good pace to win. But as far as ESPN graphics had it, you had eaten 64 hot dogs after 10 minutes. And I was like, that's a winner. I have under 72 and a half. You have 64. You go there and you talk to the carnival barker in the post-game press conference, whatever you want to call, Pig Fest. And he's like, 64, valiant effort by you. Good enough to win, not your best. And you're like, actually, I ate 74. They didn't count a plate. And this guy is like, 74, a new record. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Time out. We're not even going to check this. There's no interrogation. That's it. They missed the plate, so I lost.
They checked it. The counter, I could hear the counters arguing in front of me. And really? You're not the only one who was upset. A lot of people were upset. What were you doing betting the under on the 4th of July?
I mean,
that's pretty un-American. I think I should have a problem with you.
You're right. But, maybe I have some communist background or something. I was betting against America in betting against Joey Chestnut. Shame on me. You're right. I put it on me. That was terrible. But terrible by ESPN, too.
They've gotten better over the last couple of years.
Good.
They're right on top of the numbers.
And, yeah, they shouldn't miss a plate, for God's sakes. But yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you this. How long does this go for? Are you going to be like 75 years old, pulling dentures out of your mouth and just gumming down hot dogs? Like, do you see an end in sight?
I'm hoping somebody comes and it'd be silly for me to retire without any competition, but
right,
if somebody has to come, some absolute beast, and dominate, and then I can hand the torch to them. But I'm loving it. I could travel around the world, eat everybody who recognizes me. They're all food lovers like me, and they aren't worried about holding back. So I'm living the dream, and I'm going to ride this thing till the wheels fall off.
And you have the title belt with you. Do you treat it like the Stanley Cup, the trophy? Because, you know, this people have done legendary things with that.
This it's thing has seen some story. Nudity and a lot of nights out. So it's been out, and it has some stories to tell.
Excellent. Excellent. Let me ask, what's an ideal birthday dinner for you?
Oh, ideal birthday dinner.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It used to be House of Prime Rib in San Francisco. That was, that was my go-to. I love that place. Actually, I just moved to Indianapolis area. So probably it's going to be, probably St. Elmo. I love that steakhouse. They do a good job.
And then what does that mean? You can't sit down to just one filet, right? You have to go crazy. You have to do a little of the
crazy,
wagyu.
Crazy, but yeah. It's some cocktail for birthday dinner. I'm having steak. I'm having some sides and plenty of cocktails. I'll be feeling good.
I don't know how you're not a fat slob. I mean, I guess that's my last question for you. How the hell do you do this? I would love to have your life, but I would be 750 pounds, which is only like a 45 pounds less than what I am now. But
it's a battle. In between contests, in between practices, I'm on a pretty green diet. It's lots of fiber, which sucks because I love to eat. But I know that once I start gaining weight, that's when I start losing. I can't control my breathing during a contest. So in between, I really have to be on top of it.
And do you work out aside from the hot dog curls you're doing with your biceps?
I run, and I actually got the Peloton, I definitely put some effort into it. But dude, getting old sucks. It's so much easier to gain the weight, so much harder to lose it, and it's just easier for me to make sure that I don't put it on.
Well, listen, you're still at the top of your game. Like I said, yeah, why stop now? Why even consider stopping? No one's in the rearview mirror right now. I don't want to give you overconfidence here, but you're going for number 14, right? This Sunday, July 4th.
Yeah, it's going down. My doctor gave me the okay. I'm healthy, and I'm just going to push it to the limit.
I've seen some of those guys. There's no way they're getting a doctor's okay. So some of your competitors. No,
seriously, my doctor's like, she's like, oh, well, whatever you're doing, it's better than getting into a boxing ring. And I was like, all right, we're on.
That makes sense. All right, Joey Chestnut, thanks so much for joining us. July 4th, Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Check him out there. Bet the over.
Thank you.